College football nerds here doing a preview for Georgia football this year. And we're going to stop talking about Oklahoma and Texas for 1 minute to talk about teams that are actually currently in the SEC and do some previews because we're running up into the season and, you know, we got to start talking about actual football. So just a couple of housekeeping things. One, we did a video on Kirby Smart compared to Mark Richt and why that comparison is ridiculous, that a lot of people use that to kind of undermine what Smart's done so far, and we kind of break that down with real detailed numbers. The link will be in the description. Y'all can check that out. Also, want to remind y'all, it helps us out, especially getting started, getting back from our off-season slumber. If you will share this on whatever platform, if it's DogVent, if it's Reddit CFB, if it's Facebook, wherever you go when you leave here, after you leave a comment about what you think Georgia's football season is going to look like, if you share us somewhere else, if you like what we're talking about, helps us out a lot. Okay, I got Josh with me. We're here. We're getting nerdy. We're going to talk X's and O's. We're going to talk numbers. Josh, last year, our preview, we upset a lot of Georgia fans because we said we felt like 10-2 was kind of where they were going to be, because if we had to make a decision in August or whatever, we were concerned about quarterback. And this was before, we did our preview before Newman even left the program. And we were concerned then. We were really concerned going into the season after that. And it kind of played out the way we felt. We thought they were going to have an elite defense, which they did. We thought they didn't have enough at quarterback and one other position, wide receiver, that's plagued them a little bit in the past, to really get over the hump. And that proved to be true. But this year, Josh, I want you to talk about those two things, quarterback and wide receiver, and why they've given you some concerns in the past, especially wide receiver. We'll get into quarterback in a minute. A lot of people don't understand how important that position is. Some thoughts you've had on Georgia at wide receiver in the past and how maybe this year it won't be that big of a deal and there might be room for optimism.
Georgia the past few years has lacked the sort of explosive athlete that you need to have in the RPO era to make consistent gains. If you think back, the last time Georgia was a dominant program on the national stage, going all the way to the championship game, what did they have? They had Mecole Hardman, I mean, to start it off with. And that receiving core, I think, was a huge component of the team. Even though it was a ground-and-pound team for the most part, those guys are a huge part of how they won games. When you think about the later years with Jake Fromm, people act like he suddenly became a bad quarterback overnight. I mean, he didn't get worse as he got older. His receiving core changed dramatically. And when they were playing, you know, Lawrence Cager is your best receiver on the field and he gets banged up, they didn't really have a plan B. That South Carolina loss a few years ago, that was a game where Cager gets banged up and then you're planning to play Pickens and Pickens has his issues and he's in and out of the lineup. And all of a sudden they really didn't have anybody that could get separation at the receiver position. And it held them back tremendously, really for a couple years. George Pickens has been the sort of the one guy that's righted the ship, but he hasn't been able to stay for a variety of reasons in the starting lineup, and I think it's really hamstrung Georgia as a program. But last year, I felt like they took a big step forward, especially late in the year. Everybody talks about JT Daniels, and first off, I took a lot of heat personally because I said I thought Georgia might even lose three games, and it was because of how little faith I had in Newman and Bennett. But Daniels comes in, he does really well, there's a lot of attention on him, and I think, yeah, he was a big piece, but really what he did more than anything was he was a guy that allowed them to utilize their receiving talent. Kiaris Jackson was a vital part of the team early in the season. I think Jackson is a good slot receiver. He's not going to be a first-round draft pick. I think he's draftable. But in my mind, it was really Jermaine Burton and Pickens combined with Jackson that created the better receiving core. Burton in particular was huge because the ability to put three high-level receivers on the field at the same time was just something Georgia hasn't had. Demetrius Robinson went to Cal, played a year, got hurt. I don't think he ever really got over it. And he wasn't the guy that Georgia was hoping he would be. And there have been a lot of guys like Simmons and other guys at Georgia that haven't panned out. But I do think going into this year, it's almost a good sign, right, when guys like Matt Landers are transferring out. It's a sign of the fact that the receiving core is sort of taking some steps forward. They're becoming a better all-around unit. You bring in a guy like Adonai Mitchell, who's going to help that unit even more. And I think it's a receiving corps that's going to reflect more the high four-star, five-star status that they've actually had in theory, but I don't think they've really had it on the field. And I think they take a big step, frankly, because of that. As much as the quarterback's important, I think that piece is probably as or more important to their development in the past, latter half of last year and going into this season.
Yeah, and like you're saying, it wasn't just that they lacked wide receiver skill set or whatever. It was you need to also have a quarterback that can take advantage of that talent, especially with verticality. Bennett was great, and we saw this in the Auburn game. He was great in that mid-range, mid-tier passing game, and short. The short game was pretty good. There was not a joke there, but maybe there was. But really, and I think we took some heat last year on JT Daniels, and we probably will this year because we're still not. I still don't think he's an elite plus, top five draft pick quarterback, but. I will say that last year, I didn't care how good Georgia's defense was. I didn't think they had it at quarterback to win a championship. This year, I don't think JT Daniels has to be an elite plus top five draft pick kind of guy for them to win where they want to go, for them to win the SEC championship, or for them to compete or win a national championship. I think that all he has to do is be better than good. And, you know, we saw, 2015 Alabama won national championship with Jake Coker. We saw Alabama a little bit previous win with A.J. McCarron, guys that aren't elite plus quarterbacks. But the thing we've seen, and like Oklahoma, where they have all of this offensive firepower and their defense is so trash that they can't win anything, the flip side is Georgia has had elite defenses. Now, knowing what we know about their turnover, do we feel, or do you feel like Georgia's defense takes a step back this year? And if they do, how much does JT Daniels need to fill that void to make up for the difference?
It'd be extremely difficult for Georgia not to take a step back from where they were at the start of last year. We were super vocal about this preseason and especially the beginning of the year. Georgia wasn't just the best defense in college football the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. Georgia was the best defense in football by, you know, a standard deviation 4 weeks in. It's a lot like, best reminder I had was like the 2011 year where LSU and Alabama weren't just the best defenses, but when you ran a scatter plot, it was actually two standard deviations between them and anyone else in the sport. Meaning, you know, like basically two tiers better. There wasn't even anybody in between. That, I don't think they can replicate that. They've recruited at a high level, and that's important. But you also lose guys at a high level. I mean, Eric Stokes, Richard LeCount, Azeez Ojulari, Monty Rice, those are big-name players. And I think at some level, when you lose guys like that, you have to feel it. And they're guys that have been in the program for a long time. And I think everybody that loses players like that feels it. Theoretically, there's four returning starters on the team. You can sort of debate that a little bit defensively. I do think the transfer portal is going to be huge. I mean, obviously the biggest one to me is Darian Kendrick. I think shoring up that corner position is huge. Now, I don't know. It's really hard to figure out what the secondary is going to look like, right? Tyreek Stevenson transfers out, started most of last year. You got a lot of young guys coming in. You've got Kendrick connection. I don't really know where the secondary is going to be. But I do know, Tyke Smith or Scene or whoever's at safety, I don't think they're LeCount. And whoever starts at linebacker, I mean, N'Kobe Dean was an all-star recruit, top 15 nationally, but I still don't think he's quite what Monty Rice has been. I don't think anybody in this team is going to be Ojulari, but I think they might be maybe better than the sum of their parts that they were at the end of the year, or at least three quarters of the way through the year where, you know, they gave up 24 points to a Mississippi State team that really wasn't great offensively when they were so banged up. They're going to be better than that, I think, but maybe not to where the ceiling they were was. And that brings up, you know, sort of a different question, right? If this is a Georgia defense that isn't giving up 20 points in a game, you do have to score consistently. That's where I think Daniels will get the job done. I think it's only unreasonable to say Daniels is going to be the number one draft pick, which I've seen in some sites. I haven't seen that out of him yet. I think he's a really good quarterback. I think he's an NFL draft pick quarterback. I don't know that he's a top half of the first round quarterback. There aren't many top half of the first round quarterbacks. And, you know, maybe the question you can put it is, you know, is he going to be as good as Kyle Trask? Because Kyle Trask wasn't the top guy off the board. And you can win a championship with Kyle Trask. And I'm not saying he is Kyle Trask, but I'm saying that's really all he needs to be. And I'll say this, and then maybe I'll let you talk a little bit on recruiting because that comes into play. But when you talk about Daniels, I want to shut the door on this point. It's really hard for us to evaluate him. He only played in four games. Of those four games, the first two was a Mississippi State team that only had, I think, 48 players available in that game against Georgia, and was like three or four of their six starting secondary players were out that game. They played South Carolina that had multiple guys that opted out, including their first-round draft pick top-of-the-board guy in Horn. Missouri had pretty well quit. And then the Cincinnati game, the numbers were good yard-per-attempt-wise, but otherwise, you know, it was a 24-point game. I think Cincinnati's maybe a fair expectation that you get 10 yards per attempt because he hits some bombs downfield, but he's not super consistent. And I think that's more than enough to win. But, you know, I think the question is, if you have a Cincinnati performance and it's a 24-point game, is the defense going to hold teams to below 24? And that has a lot to do with just, it's not just who you lose, but also who you bring in, right?
So for me, like, yeah, I think that, you know, JT Daniels does bring the verticality, and it can be feast or famine with him. He will make a ridiculous throw and then go three and out. But what he brings to the table is some dynamic play that I think Georgia fans were starving for, that they didn't see in Fromm's last year. They didn't see first half of the season last year. They were starving for it. So there is reason for excitement. The other side of that, yes, they're losing some star power in defense. But when is Kirby Smart not fielded a good defense? They're going to be legit. They've got some dudes. They've recruited like crazy. They've leveraged the transfer portal. So even if they take a step back, in my opinion, the step forward they're making with not only JT Daniels, but the ability to have a quarterback that can leverage wide receivers and take advantage of wide receivers who can stretch the field, makes up for what I expect to be a not as good defense this year. I think they're going to be a top 10 defense, maybe top 5 defense. They're not going to be ridiculous like they were last year when healthy. Everybody forgets that Georgia had a ton of injuries down the stretch on defense that really impacted the perception of how good that defense was. So, okay, let's say you take a step back from being two tiers above everybody else and you're still just, a top three defense. You don't need that much more offensively to really make a run at it. So let's go with predictions. I don't know that we are in a position to go down the list and everything like that. But I want you to talk real quick about kind of your gut feel last year versus this year. And then to close it out, after we talk about that, we'll talk a little bit about the schedule at a high level in this Clemson game coming up.
So my gut feel on this Georgia team is that they're going to be effectively better than they were last year. I think last year's Georgia team in some ways had more big-name players. I mean, there were a lot of guys that were household names in that team, or at least if you watched them, you knew who Zamir White was, and you knew, like on the defensive side of the ball, who Monty Rice was, or especially guys like Ojulari. I don't know that you got that name, star power, but this feels like a much more complete roster to me. I don't think there's any major glaring holes. The offensive line, I think, will gel maybe a little better than they were at times last year, though they got really good. But the combination of actual, I think, quality depth at the receiving position, a quarterback that can leverage it, a defense that, you know, maybe lost a lot of guys, but you're still playing 4-star, 5-star guys throughout the roster. And there are two things that matter on defense. It's talent and it's experience. Talent probably trumps experience defensively, frankly. The most talented defenses are almost always the best ones. The exceptions are teams that are just loaded with seniors. I think this Georgia team, especially given like guys like Quay Walker are a senior anyway, right? And you got some super seniors on this team. They're going to be really, really good. And I know they're getting a lot of hype nationally, but I almost think they're kind of a sleeper pick for how good they will be. I don't think they're going to lose three games this year. I think this is a team that's going to maybe lose one game. I would put it 50-50 on whether they lose a game, pretty much, in the regular season. I think it comes down to the Clemson game, and it comes down to the conference championship. There's some good and bad to that, and the good is it's a good schedule to make the conference championship. The bad is schedule's not very good. I mean, you dodge Alabama, LSU, and Texas A&M from the West. Spoiler for other discussions, I don't think Auburn's going to be very good this year. I'm lowest I've been on them for several years. I just don't think they're going to have many challenges. And so how do you take that, right? Is it an easy way to make the playoff, or is it sort of a problem because you don't have enough opportunities to prove yourself?
Yeah, and I also don't know what to think about Florida right now. I think they're going to be a good name for Georgia to play, but not necessarily the team they were last year. I'm with you. I'm not super high on Auburn. I'm not super high on South Carolina. I think, honestly, the best chance they have to play a decent team this year is going to be Missouri. But it's almost like it's good and bad because you do want to be tested throughout the year. I still think there's more pressure on Clemson in that opening game, which benefits Georgia a little bit. Georgia can lose to Clemson and win out, beat Alabama or whoever, Texas A&M in the SEC championship game, they're in the playoffs. Full stop, the end, because that out-of-conference loss is going to be forgotten if they literally run the table in the SEC in the SEC championship. Alabama or whoever in the West could go undefeated with their schedule. They didn't have to play Clemson in out-of-conference. If they have that one loss to Georgia between those two, if we're only picking one of those two teams, Georgia's going to go. The flip side of that is if Georgia beats Clemson, that puts a lot of pressure on Clemson to maybe get eliminated regardless of what Georgia does the rest of the way. So there is some margin for error there. It just happens to be bookended where it's not a hugely strong schedule, but those two at the top give them a little bit of breathing room. And I want to give Georgia credit. They schedule 10 Power Fives every year. So I don't care who they play, that they got UAB in week two or some directional school from Carolina at the end of the season. You can never give Georgia a hard time. Like, they went out, went on the road, played Notre Dame, home and home with Notre Dame. They got Clemson now, like, and they're playing them in North Carolina. Like, come on. They need credit for that. Georgia does it. Florida does it. And I think more teams at SEC should do it. But give me your kind of final thoughts on that. Like, if you're a Georgia fan, how much pressure do you feel on that Clemson game? If you lose it, do you feel a lot of pressure? Are you playing with house money going into Clemson to start the season?
I think you should feel pressure, frankly. That Clemson game, it shifts your odds dramatically for making the playoff. If you beat Clemson, you can afford any other loss on your schedule and to beat Alabama or whoever you place in the West and go to the playoff. If you beat Clemson and run the rest of the table on your schedule, I don't think Clemson, with a loss to Georgia, winning the ACC championship, with what is a particularly weak schedule for Clemson this year, even by their standards, they're not getting in over Georgia. I don't care that they're ACC champion. I don't think they're getting in over Georgia with a head-to-head, and they're going to have the same record. So, you know, if you can, you basically get two shots to make the playoff, and you've got to split them. You got to go 1-1. It's a pretty envious position to be in, but yeah, there's a lot of pressure on those two games. And that means there's a lot of pressure on the first game. And if you win it, a lot of pressure gets taken off and you really can just kind of coast to the playoff. Quick aside, I kind of hate that personally for the sake of college football. I kind of hate the lack of pressure there where the SEC championship game actually can be rendered irrelevant for Georgia. Not a bad thing if you're in Georgia's shoes. I just kind of hate the turn that makes for the sport. But that's the position you'll be in. And if you lose the Clemson game, things aren't over. So you can still play your way in the end. It's an envious position. But, yeah, definitely a lot of pressure to win that opener because, you know, that opening game against Clemson, I know every loss matters and any loss could be really, you know, we're not even talking about it too much, but any loss could be pretty damaging given the schedule. But that is kind of the one game you need to win. And if you win it, you're in good shape. And if you lose it, it changes the entire course of the season otherwise.
Yeah. I might disagree with you a little bit. I think they're playing a little bit with house money in the Clemson game. I do think it's a good litmus test game too, for JT Daniels, for this offense, but also for all these new faces on defense. Cause Clemson's got a dude at quarterback. They got some weapons on offense. We'll do a preview on that game, y'all. I think Georgia is going to fare pretty well, though. All right, let us know in the comments. Give us your what you think their record's going to be, what Georgia's records are going to be, and whether or not you have concerns. Let's not even talk about quarterback. Do you have concerns about the defense going into the season? Let us know what you got. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week, and God bless.